to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Deep Space Sci-Fi TV Review Podcast, where we break down the latest and maybe not so greatest from today's sci-fi television. I'm one of your hosts, Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
So, Chris, we are here, last episode for a little while, our 51st episode. Officially been doing this about a year.
Yeah, I think over a year, because we've missed a couple of weeks, so we are past the year mark.
Yep, just been like that, just past the year mark, right at the 51st episode.
Yeah, nice. And happy Mother's Day. We managed to also do it on Mother's Day, so.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. We didn't do anything for Mother's Day. I know y'all didn't do anything, because you were at the library, Dad was at work, and Mom worked an overnight shift, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mom's already asleep. She's out, so.
But y'all will do something at some point, if y'all haven't already.
Yeah, we're probably going to do something next Sunday. You know, everybody, celebrates Mother's Day on Mother's Day, but nobody thinks to celebrate it the next Sunday, so.
Yeah. There you go. So happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and to all you motherfuckers. Fuck off. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn.
Just kidding.
All right.
So I just wanted to re-mention that what we did last week, that this will be Chris's and I's last episode for a little while. We're not permanently done with the show. We are just taking a temporary break for a few months, let Chris finish his undergrad, let me do some really hard thinking on how we could revamp the show and maybe come out with a little different show that might be better for both Chris and I and even our listeners and help us grow the show. So I think our timeline, Chris graduates in August, so it'll probably be mid-August when we come back.
Yes, I'm taking two classes over the summer. I should be done by August, fingers crossed. In my last week of this semester, I just got finals. I just got to get through them. this is the hump. This is the hardest part. If I can get past the hump, I'm in the clear. So
3 months, hopefully we will come back with a vengeance. Good content, talking about some good sci-fi shows. Maybe we'll revitalize the show. Maybe we'll talk about specific shows. Revamp it. And might talk about a specific niche or specific show or something, or make it more of a conversation talk base instead of an episode by episode review.
Yeah, maybe we'll have like specific issues on specific nerd topics, and we'll kind of get in depth and talk about just some nerd shit. Who knows? Maybe we'll expand to the comic books. You and I are both into DC and the Marvel and most of the comics. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe we'll just keep expanding. Who says we got to just stick with sci-fi?
Yeah, and let us know your thoughts. You could shoot us an email, deepspacehighpod@gmail.com, or you could check out our Facebook and Instagram and message us over there. I will leave the links or, the handles to those at the end of the show. So,
don't you have a comic book blog? What was it? The Incredible Dork? How's that been going?
It goes pretty good when I post. WandaVision ended like a week after WandaVision ended.
So you haven't done anything for Falcon and the Winter Soldier yet?
No, and the funny thing is I have something written up and I need to reread it and edit it and then put it out there. So like I have it written. Haven't put it out there. And I started one for Kong and Kong versus Godzilla, and I just watched Mortal Kombat, so I will have one on Mortal Kombat. So I have three in the pipeline, one of which is completely written, one of which has been partially written, and then the other is being brainstormed. So, The Incredible Dork, that's my superhero nerd blog.
Yeah, I figured you'd be crazy given that you got so much MCU stuff coming out this year. We got four more movies and four more shows coming out this year.
Yeah, and the hard part is, and last thing, and we'll move into our sci-fi, but, like, I didn't want to do an episode, like, a weekly breakdown of the episode on the blog. I just wanted to do, like, a series overview, mm-hmm. which is why there's, like, you know, weeks where I don't post. Even though I try pretty hard to, you know, post at least twice a month, but that has not been going well. But I have three in the pipeline, so I will get some posted. Falcon and Winter Soldier will probably come out around the time this episode does. So if you want to check out my blog at The Incredible Dork, I think it's theincrediledork.com. And I also have a Facebook page that's The Incredible Dork.
Yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, check it out. That just shows how much into dorky stuff I am in. So we will continue talking about more dorky stuff with Star Trek Discovery.
I mean, we're just basically two big dorks over here, so...
Pretty much. One incredible dork.
I was going to say, we should have came up with a name that reflects that, but I like Deep Space High. I think we should stick with Deep Space High. It's a good...
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some Trek, though.
All right, let's get into some Trek.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it!
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm gonna go do it!
So, on this week's episode of Deep Space High, we are talking about episode 13, the season finale of season 3 of Star Trek Discovery. An episode that... was up and down for me. So we'll start off with our first talking point, and we'll just go, you know, Chris and I have kind of gone into talking points instead of kind of recapping and going through the plot. So first talking point I wanted to bring up was Adira's imaginary-ish boy toy in gray showing up when Adira beams down to help Kolber and Saru, and the holo program of Sakaal actually picks up, I don't know if it's a brainwave, if it's just her essence, but or his essence, Gray's essence, and manifest him in the program.
Weird.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that. It was very odd to watch.
Yeah, it was kind of odd to watch. I mean, the thing is, with this is, you've seen it before in previous Star Trek. I believe it wasn't Jadzia Dax. It was Ezri Dax. In season 7, she was having trouble dealing with the Dax symbiont. And she actually started to see, because you can bring up the memories of them. She actually started to see the repressed memory of a serial killer who had the Dax symbiont. And that the Dax symbiont was actually trying to repress. And you would see him like talk to her and just like follow her around, kind of like what Gray is doing.
So there was like a visual representation of the serial killer version of Dax,
right?
Following Jadzia Dax around, because I haven't gotten that far in Deep Space.
Ezri Dax. Whatever. Jadzia dies. Spoilers. Yeah, the look on your face is like, oh, you were not right. Yeah, you did
it was just like. Like I said, I'm not super familiar with the character. I know Jadzia Dax is the character. So you're saying the previous host of that symbiote was having these issues?
No. So what happened was Jadzia died in the series. And the host was trying to survive. So they were transporting the host back to Trill. And there was a Trill just so happened on board who volunteered to receive the symbiont to keep the symbiont alive. And when the symbiont was alive, it turns out they had the symbiont has been repressing a serial killer's memories, who should never had gotten the symbiont, but managed to get him for a while. This was a previous host, like several lifetimes ago, and Ezri was the one dealing with it on the show because Ezri ended up ship's counselor.
Was the new after Jadzia had passed.
Yeah, after Jadzia, Ezri took over. And she was like the ship's counselor on that ship, and she was a trainee counselor. So
how does that play
DS9's.
Into Adira, well, that situation?
That's what I was kind of assuming that Gray was going to be, like just kind of a lost memory that only Adira could deal with.
Almost like she's talking to Gray's memories, not, you know.
Right.
Whereas it's like now it seems like an imaginary friend that's being picked up by this hologram technology and is able to... manifest something out of it.
Yeah. Well, you missed a lot in not finishing Deep Space. I almost said Deep Space High. Deep Space Nine. Because they go into a lot with the symbiote. The symbionts can actually... it's not anthropomorphize. What they can do is they can actually get the memories out of the symbiont and implant them in a living host. And they can actually live out and talk. So that way the current symbiont...
Like transferring their mind.
Host, yeah, so the current host can talk to the previous minds of the symbiont, and they can use like friends, and then it's supposed to be like a real bonding experience for close friends to share the memories. But I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff with the symbionts, but this one caught me off guard because does that mean that there's something actually wrong with the symbiont and like how because what they were trying to talk about was that they could save him, that they were trying to bring him alive,
And Colbert almost inferred that they were going to somehow kind of do what they did when they revived him in season two, get some matter or whatever and able to transfer Gray's essence into this new body. And I don't know, I said it when Colbert came back to life. I didn't like the way they did it. I didn't think they needed to kill the character in the first place, but he was gone. I didn't think they needed to bring him back. And if they bring Gray into real life instead of an imaginary kind of thing that Adira sees, I'm not gonna like it. They're gonna find a way to pull this character that I don't really care about, and probably make it a big thing in season four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it completely caught me off guard, and I honestly just don't know how they're gonna do it.
Yeah, they're gonna pull the same. It's probably gonna be a rehash of how they got Colbert back to life.
It could be. And I would not be surprised. Probably the direction that they're going to go. But
yeah, and like I said, Adira, I'm okay with. I'm kind of neutral on her or they, since I guess non-binary or whatever. Yeah. But I'm neutral. It's one of those. I mean, to get Gray into this, I don't think I really care.
I don't know. What was it about that holo program or that holo suite that could read Adira's mind and create a separate image of this, what about it can make a difference where it can do that? And that's what
I mean, it's obviously some advanced shit, but no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Obviously
I didn't like
not. Cause I mean, it was 100 and something years in the past though. I mean, they still have holo technology then. And we never saw that with, Adira.
Yeah, but we've never seen holo. This is the first time we've seen holotech in Discovery. There's this string of episodes with Sakaal and, them trying to rescue him.
Was it? I could have sworn that that we've seen it before. I thought it was something that I was pissed off about, too, that they had holodecks on.
Well, there
Discovery
was a version when in season one where Tyler and Captain...
Oh, yeah, the holo program.
Yeah, when they were doing like a battle simulation.
Varka?
That was kind of... Lorca. Captain Lorca. So when they were doing like a battle simulation holo, you were a little mad at that. So yeah, we have seen some holo technology.
But I mean, it's just so hard to, how do you deal with that gap? Like, obviously the reason why holo technology was supposed to be the shit back in the 90s, but in the 2020s, it's kind of starting to become a reality only 30 years down the line, not 300. Now, granted, it's not matter energy holograms like, this one, but we're kind of getting that same VR sophisticated virtual reality kind of technology similar to. So
yeah, it was very weird and I didn't like it. I just didn't like it. I don't know. I didn't care for, I really didn't care any time Adira and Gray were on the screen.
Yeah, I didn't either. Well, it's I'm just not sure where they're going to go with this, and I'm not sure if this is even going to be a good storyline, let alone
one. It almost feels like Adira almost feels like a Wesley 2.0.
I know. I didn't want to say anything, but it's kind of
I'll say it. Wesley 2.0.
Yeah. It's kind of bugging me. Well,
even though he's loved now.
Or is Jake 2.0? Wesley
2.0. I don't know. I haven't finished all of Jake. I haven't finished Deep Space Nine, so I don't know. Or
don't
9.
Know.
Damn it.
Nine, so I know, right? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Jake wasn't.
That's just how I feel like it.
Yeah. So maybe this is a 2.0. So, I mean,
Let's move on to another topic. I think a more interesting topic for sure, and that was Book being able to navigate the Discovery. How do you feel about that?
it made sense. Like, I'm not going to lie, because, like, when you saw what he was able to do with the species, you could see that he had some pretty advanced telekinesis or...
As the doctor guy explained it, it's more than an empathic ability. Right. He's obviously able to connect and speak with these, not just kind of read their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of makes his... I mean, it's not his species, because... You know, it's only a select few of his species that have this ability. It's like if, what is Troy? What's Troy's other half?
Betazoid?
Yeah. So it was like if Betazoid had their whole species, but only a select few were telekinesis or can communicate telepathically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but.
Oh, they actually do have a form of those. And we saw that in The Next Generation. I don't remember what the guy's name was. He was a special ambassador, but Betazoids aren't born with the ability to, telepath. They're not born as a telepath. They develop it as they mature, but some special cases, they are actually born a telepath. And we actually see that in, Tin Man, where a former patient of Deanna can communicate with a space-bearing alien. You know, light years away. So they do actually have a similar kind.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I was just curious on your thoughts. And another question I had was, how long until the Federation replicates the spore drive and start recruiting other people like Book to be the navigators?
Kind
of a season four outlook too. That was the first thing that popped in my mind. I was like, okay, how long until we start seeing more discoveries?
I think it just depends on how many navigators they can get. You know, they have to have the human navigator to be able to navigate the spore network. You can't have an artificial intelligence do it, essentially. You know, you have to have an actual living being to do it.
You have to a Stemmons or a Book or Book's brother.
So when it comes to replicating it, I don't think it would be difficult to replicate the spores nor to replicate the engine or the drive that does it. But to find the navigators and the pilots like them, that's where they're going to struggle. And I don't know if they're going to be able to find enough of those kinds of people that special ability to be able to mass produce it.
Or build them. Get their own fleet of them, I'm sure. Maybe... even if it's half a dozen and now, here's, led by discovery.
Here's the real question. Is it even necessary? Because they're using the dilithium planet to mine and start delivering new dilithium to these planets. Maybe they can...
Here's what I'll say. No, it's not necessary. That's why I was saying I think you can get like six, and you essentially has it as a scout fleet, you know, scouting. You're able to jump anywhere in the matter of seconds. So you could use it as a scout fleet or as a quick response situational, maybe like a SWAT or a special forces, you know, where, you know, something occurs in an outer region or somewhere far, far away where warp would take a couple days, and you could just jump there and make it a quick response team.
Right. Well, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the scientist, I don't remember what his name was, when he was talking to Stemmin, say that he could extract the DNA without killing him?
They could, like, replicate it, or they could...
They could grow it.
Yeah, grow it, like, clone it or something. So, yeah, there's also that to be able to, you know, use almost like Stemmin's like a lab rat to create more human instead of going out and getting these Quajon.
Right.
These Quajon people that are like Book, you can make some more human. Navigators and still get a fleet.
Now I wonder if
a quick response fleet.
Now I wonder if it would still be legal to do that though, because remember, if genetic modifications of human was illegal in the 23rd century because of the eugenics wars, genetic modifications was no, and that's why, you know, Stemmin's even doing what he did was bad in his time. Now, so my question,
but he used himself as a lab rat. That's like the guy. The doctor who determined that stomach ulcers, whatever would cure stomach ulcers cured it, because he was not allowed to do human trials. Mm-hmm. And he knew how to cause a stomach ulcer. So what he did was experimented on himself, drinking a concoction to give himself stomach ulcers and then trying his own medicine on himself to see if they worked.
Hmm.
Totally illegal at the time because, or I mean illegal, but he did it to himself. So it wasn't illegal.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't know if, I mean, I didn't know about that. That's a first, but
yeah,
I don't know
maybe
if
I'll look it up and
I know that
see
they
if
weren't really
going to
the
doctor.
I know they weren't really going to punish him because he got a job with the Vulcan Science Academy, but I knew
it was like one of those things. Yeah. If he would have taken the tardigrade DNA and injected it into like Brenham, mm-hmm. then that's a big no-no. But since he experimented on himself,
he
kinda got it seems like a lot of people overlook that because you're not putting anyone else in danger. You're just putting yourself in danger.
Yeah. Can't really do that today, nowadays. Can't.
No.
Take your, you know, risk for yourself, but I guess I can do it in the future. Now,
some
I'm
people
curious.
Can, some people do.
Yeah, it depends on what state you live in. But that's a topic of a whole nother issue. But I don't know. But again, I'm curious if the Federation still has those laws that might prevent them. Because again, you can do it to yourself, but that same rule wouldn't apply to the people who they would be trying to inject the tardigrade DNA into to get them to power those spore drives. So.
No, it's since the Federation's so crippled, it might be something they overlook in season 4.
Could be, so, but as an organization,
that's why I think at first you get Quajon people, someone you don't have to experiment on, you know, who could communicate with them to jump, and then maybe run these human trials as to try to expand your spore fleet.
Hmm.
Just a thought.
Could be, or they could. Perhaps they could explore the, what was it? The Nivar? What was Vulcan's new planet called?
Nivar, I think.
Maybe the they could explore the alternative means of transportation, or that they thought was responsible for destroying. But that really wasn't
that apparently. Data or whatever that they handed over. Because they made it. They were pretty explicit that they did not want that experiment started up again.
Yep.
They could always start that up. But it's it's one of those things, like you also said, they're mining that planet for dilithium and will make warp more accessible almost to the point of where it was in TNG and shit, even in Picard.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't know how they're going to, there's enough dilithium on one planet to re.
They said most of the planet's dilithium.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, and that's one of the things that they talked about. I've talked about in a previous episode, and they talked about in The Next Generation how dilithium can become unstable in certain planet formations and actually cause the planets to explode. And that was one of the things that they covered in a Wesley episode, actually. But I don't know. It just seems kind of odd that the whole planet, that big of a planet full was enough to replenish the entire.
Yeah, it was lazy writing, in my opinion, because I think it was Book who said, there's enough dilithium there to supply your ships for a million lifetimes. Not quite a million, but, lifetimes to come.
No, maybe they're just more efficient and at, the refining process and making better, over time. But
they can use less dilithium for their needs.
Yeah, I mean, that could
be. Or they use it sparingly.
Could be. I don't know. I just got Thanos popping into my mind, like unlimited, mouths to feed, but only a limited amount of resources. How exactly is this little one planet full of dilithium just going to replenish the entirety of almost an entire galaxy's worth of fleet?
Yeah.
That they had previously. I wonder how, sorry, I don't mean to tangent on this. I wonder how big the Federation actually got. Like how vast was their empire? Because we know in the beginning that they encompassed Beta and part of the Alpha Quadrant, but they only had about 10-11% of the galaxy even charted, let alone in their territory.
Well, so. It was one of those. They said that they had hundreds of planets in the Federation at one point. I don't remember. This is like early season 3 stuff, so we would have to go back and check on it. But it seemed like they got pretty big for their britches. And then once
I think they said in this season that they were in the thousands.
Could have been
wise.
Could have been. I don't recall off the top of my head, but they got pretty big.
That's got to be crazy complicated to deal with. especially the similar form of structure of government that they have in Star Wars, because they actually have kind of that kind of constitutional that republic that because they have a special assembly of all the planets. They have an elected president. They have a I think it's
That's probably a good way to put it. It's like the Galactic Empire or the Republic before it fell.
Yeah, the Galactic Republic. And maybe that's
Supreme Chancellor.
And maybe you could see some similar issues that the Star Wars fell and could have explored that, to where they were just so big that, and it was getting kind of so corrupt that they was just being torn apart from within. Maybe that would have been a more interesting storyline to go about, but you know, the burn's cool too.
Yeah, the burn was, it was a pretty interesting topic. And speaking of the burn, we'll talk about the originator of the burn, or origin of the burn. What's the call? Do you know? I don't know about you, but I, out of this episode and the last few episodes, I did like Sokol's story. I did like this, the relationship between Saru and Sokol, and I like how, especially when you saw what caused the burn, when he got so emotional when his mother passed, that he essentially caused the burn 150 years ago. You felt for the character, and I felt for the guy.
Yeah, well, it's
funny. You know, it, and I, in the short time that he's been in this season, I have felt more for the character than I did for Adira. Not
Sokol?
Yeah, I felt more for Sokol. Definitely, like, felt worse for him, you know, the loss he went through, because you actually see it on screen. I know you see Adira's, too, when the ship blows up and you see Gray die because he was, like, hit in the stomach or whatever. But emotionally-wise, I think Sokol's got me a little more than Adira's.
I would probably agree with that. And I think, especially after watching it the second time, because when I when watching it the second time, you realize that he was already supposed to be in the holo program that she had made for him, and she he wasn't supposed to see the way that they were. He actually had turned off the program, and that's why he was afraid to go outside, because that's when he saw his family was... Not just his mother, his entire family was already dead, and his mom was the last one left, and he watched her die, you know, as, and that's what caused the burn as a, but I mean, it was a little, I'm not going to lie, like, it sparked a lot of feeling, but it was also, like, really, like, that was the whole burn that destroyed space travel in the entire galaxy, was one kid got upset that his mom cried.
Yeah, and I don't. But and they also explained it when Adira and Culber were talking that, you know, there's these special circumstances going on with Sokol, probably because he was born in this nebula, was really connected to the dilithium, and this planet was able to resonate and kind of almost communicate via subspace through the same frequency that dilithium vibrates. So he had this really weird special connection, which was a weird way to kind of set it up. But, you know, it's a little different than and you can see when he gets upset again in this episode, you know, you could see the ship kind of start to vibrate, kind of like when we saw it two episodes ago in 11, when he got upset and sent out another pulse that disrupted the engines and knocked out the cloaking of the Discovery and the Emerald Chain ship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you kind of knew that this was the direction that they were going to be going in, that he was going to be the one responsible for the burn. But I mean, the burn itself was just such a good concept that it was almost that this was the direction that they went with.
Yeah, that it was an accident versus there was instead of some ill intent behind it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't some mastermind who has whose plots are fiendish.
Yeah,
some fiendishness.
Like Emerald Chain way back when. They wanted to get a power grab going, so they figured out how to disrupt all the dilithium and cripple the Federation.
It crippled the most powerful force in the galaxy, you know, forced them to go back to an older style of propulsion and, you know, use that as the opportunity to seize power and become the new predominant power in the galaxy. You know, I mean, like, something a little bit more than just, you know, this kid got dilithium in his DNA. He got upset and he cried, and the whole universe exploded.
that's a very solid point. As I mean, you could hear me. I'm drinking out of a flask while we're recording. You can hear me trying to close it super quietly, but it's not going well.
No, it's not. I'm actually enjoying a cup of Earl Grey tea in our last episode of Star Trek Discovery.
But yeah, I agree. Because I think at the start of the episode, or at the start of the season, we were talking about how we wanted it to be someone with ill intent.
And, right.
You know, someone trying to do a power grab. And the direction that they did went sucked. But I did feel more emotionally connected to Sokol than Adira and a lot of other characters in the show.
So, yeah.
That's just
I'm right there with you. It's just, when you think that, hey, they're finally getting their shit together, they're finally going in a really good direction, it's like,
then it fizzles out into nothing.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, again, they did a good job getting that emotional connection, getting that real feel for the character, Sokol. It'd be interesting to see what they do with it. It'd be interesting to see what they do with Saru. I mean, because I guess Saru's going to be kind of staying with them as kind of that father figure role. I don't know if that's going to be permanent. I don't know if that's temporary. I guess we'll
That's actually into my next talking point was, how do you feel about Saru? I guess we assume temporarily leaving the ship, probably just for, I imagine there's going to be a time jump between season 3 and 4, and he'll probably come back in one of the early episodes of season 4. I'm thinking, but, I haven't stayed up to news to see if Doug Jones is actually attached to season 4, if this was a way to write off the character without killing him off. But yeah, how'd you feel about that? How'd you feel about him stepping away from Discovery and kind of being there for Sokol?
Well, I like that he's kind of being there for Sokol, being that mentor and that guide for him. And I don't think he really has much of a choice, given that if you throw it onto somebody else, he could cry and destroy the universe again.
Colbert did say that as soon as they took him off the planet, that was not a possibility.
So he had to be on that planet?
Yeah, because of all the dilithium that was there.
Okay. All right. Oh, I guess I missed that part, but that's a...
Yeah, it was almost like it was amplifying his signal. And now that he's off the planet, he can no longer...
Does he still have, like, powers or something?
We might see little baby powers, but nothing to wipe out an entire universe worth of dilithium starships.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I was disappointed that, you know, they ended up giving the captainship to Burnham. I mean, I get that's kind of what they were going to begin with, and I guess it is kind of fitting for her that she was going to be taking
the captain's chair. And she's the most senior.
Person. I mean, she was supposed to be getting the captain's chair to begin with from Georgiou on the, I don't remember the name of the ship, the Shenzhou.
Shenzhou.
She was always supposed to get the captain seat, and only just took 1,000 years later for her to finally get it.
Yeah, she always got in her own way, and I think she'll still continue to get in her own way. I mean, Admiral Vance made this touching speech where he was saying, you know, there's the right way to do things, and then there's the other way that will still get you the right answer or get you the same outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the route Brenham always takes. And I think it's one that's kind of, I mean, he makes a good point, but I just think, she's experienced and intelligent, I still think she's too inconsistent for the chair.
Well, I think the point that they were trying to make is they were trying to make her like a pre-Kirk kind of captain. You know, that wild, brash, do things on their own. You know, the I don't believe in no-win scenarios, if you remember her saying that during the finale.
Yeah. Kobayashi Maru.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it seems like they're trying to make her that Kirk style of brash, a little bit reckless, gung-ho kind of captain, and it didn't work well. I didn't like Brenham as captain to begin with, and I said it from the beginning that I do not like the fact that Discovery centered around her, so I was disappointed when she got the chair, but...
Yeah, it'll be... instead of it being an ensemble show.
Yeah.
I get it.
Still the Brenham show.
The Brenham show. Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's way too teenage love story meets sci-fi show.
Really is, which isn't Star Trek. I mean, like, I get there's a lot of banging in Star Trek, but it's not exactly like love. Well, I mean, there's love. No,
it's,
like,
it's
a different kind of. It's not the same. Like, this is just
it's the sappy teenage romance. It's it really that's is. What it feels like.
Not the like everybody's it. Beautiful, half naked, hot, attractive looking people just enjoying life.
Yeah, now you can't do that because you look like cancer.
I know, right? Oh, you can't do anything anymore.
Nope.
It's annoying.
No, I'm not gonna get into that. But yeah.
All right. Well, season four. So,
Hold on. Before we get there, new uniforms thoughts.
Again, kind of saw it coming, given that that's what everybody else in the Federation was wearing, and they kind of
true.
So I was a little.
I'm not surprised that they're finally upgrading their uniforms to be consistent with the Federation of this time. More of just like design of it. What do you think? I know we kind of seen glimpses of it all season on Vance and some of his minions. I don't know why I call them minions, but now that the Discovery has it, just kind of what do you think on the design between the badge, the kind of shoulder pads, things that have the rankings on them, and the color schemes?
It was interesting. The gray is different. They've never done gray before. They have done blue and black as the complement, but they've never done gray.
Gray with like a stripe of their color, according to their
which
department.
Field they're in. Yeah. It was okay.
Which I was a little disappointed that Colbert was still in white instead of blue, since I know they transitioned to blue in TNG and, you know, that era, but I don't know the eras after, so.
That was the part that I didn't understand. You know, they were always blue for doctors.
Yeah. And then they were white in Discovery, and now they seem to have, you know, Colbert has a white stripe still. It's a gray and white uni, so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they could do their own thing technically, because Enterprise didn't have a color coded for their doctor. They only had one doctor, and it was he kind of wore whatever he wanted. I can't remember what his name is. Phlox.
I can't
Dr. Phlox. So yeah.
But you like the uniforms? You don't like the uniforms?
They were okay. I think they were better than the blue and gold that they had, but. That's probably the only uniforms that I would put them above. Honestly, it was the blue ones.
Yeah, I was hoping, I don't know, it's too gray. Not enough color. Kind of like this show.
I don't know. It's
too bland.
Oh, yeah, that.
Not lively enough. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, that's
I don't know, they're okay, though. No, we'll see. We'll see in season four, but first thoughts, they are not great.
All right.
So now, overall thoughts on season three before we get into the future of season four. So what do you think? What'd you think of this finale as a finale, and how do you like the season overall?
It was okay as a finale. I'm kind of glad the chick was killed. The head of the Emerald Chain, I don't remember
Osyra.
What her name was. Yeah, Osyra. I'm kind of glad that she got killed. I'm glad that the one douche was killed. The one that was sent on the ice planet that was supposed to be killed.
Oh, I hated the way
that
he died.
What, they just... Oh, the she's a
he
queen?
Throws him
the,
out.
He throws him
no,
out.
No, the guy. Because he makes a comment, who do you think would make a bigger stain, you or your cat? And I thought that was funny. And I got a good laugh out of that. And then he throws him out. And then Book's like, she's a queen. I was like, oh my god, it's a fucking cat.
I don't think
I know
that's,
people love their pets, but
I don't think that's who they were talking about. I don't think he said cat. I think he said fat something.
No.
And he was referring to the girl, and that's why he was pissed, because he's like, oh, she's a queen. Like,
no, he was referring to the cat. He said, who would make a bigger stain, you or your fat cat? Because Book loves his cat.
Yeah, but how did he know about the cat?
They know Book enough to know that he has a cat.
I just assumed that he was talking about his girl, that they knew that they were together.
Nope.
So he just assumed that he was making fun of the girl, and that's why she's like, because that would make a lot more sense.
Nope.
Rather
they were
than...
talking about the cat, Grudge.
So why did he yell, she's a queen?
Because he loves his cat.
Yeah, I think the chick makes
I didn't
sense.
Like it.
I think him referring.
Either way, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to your thoughts on season three.
I mean, it was okay. It wasn't bad. Like, season three, the finale was okay. Season three was better than the rest of the seasons. Not by much, though. I think I gave season one 5.5 out of 10. And then I think I gave season two 6 out of 10.
Something like that.
So we'll go with 6.5 out of 10 for this one. I mean, it wasn't a significant upgrade. It was better. Had some highs. Definitely had some lows. It was improving, but not fast enough.
No, and I honestly think, in my opinion, the finale, there were some good parts too. Didn't really care for it. Maybe a solid 2 out of 5. Like I said, I think the saving grace was the Sakaal, that character and what they did with him. Because everything else I really didn't care for the episode. And then for the season overall, I think it's tied for worst with season one.
Really?
Yeah, and season one might even be a little better. In my opinion, there were some good episodes in here. And it was pleasantly surprising. I thought it would be a lot worse than it was. But it still wasn't very good in my mind. And I didn't really care for it. And didn't care for it how it ended. Really not. The only characters I'm attached to is like Saru and Sakaal. And they're not even seeming like they're going to be on the show. Colbert's all right.
Tilly?
I don't know. Tilly kind of got on my nerves.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like her in the last couple episodes.
I don't know. I still like Tilly. Tilly's still one of my favorites.
She's all right. Now that ever since they gave her acting first officer, there's been a shift and I haven't really cared for it. The only other character, I mean, I like Admiral Vance. He's as a character, he makes calls logistically, like how he handled Stamets when Stamets was like, no, we have to take back the ship and get back to Colbert. And he was like, no, this is one of those situations where the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And I'm sorry for your sacrifice, but we got to do it this way. Mm-hmm. Those are the three characters I kind of liked, and two of them seem like they're going to be off the show. Or away for a while. So, yeah, in my mind, I'll give it worst of the three seasons.
Well, what about for season four? What about, what are you hoping for season four?
I'm hoping I don't see season four. No, I really, the way they're making it seem like it's going to be a season, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes this way, where Discovery is delivering dilithium to planets and trying to negotiate with planets coming back, and then you have to deal with, either unexplored territory again or territory they haven't explored in a while, so it's a little different.
Or territory that they've never explored, but was already explored previously by the Federation, just after their time.
Yeah, or that's kind of what I meant, was, exploring it post-burn, essentially. And, I can see it becoming more of a, not anthology, but like an episode has a single plot versus an overarching story. But
right, you could start to see a transition into that old hopefully Star Trek style.
Hopefully, but
don't worry, they'll find a way to mess it up.
I think season four is just going to be trying to reconnect the Federation. Otherwise, unless it's a time jump where they have already started that, they're going to run into some other Emerald Train organization or some problem with the Klingons or the Romulans, or maybe even the Romulans and the Vulcans, looking to split Navarre again and become Vulcan and Romulus again.
Yeah, that's going to be a... Yeah, I kind of hope they explore that. Like, what happened with the Klingons? What happened with the Cardassians? What happened to the Breen? Explore the Breen. Make the Breen a main villain. Like, they never go into the Breen. Like, fuck, the Breen were the first species in forever to fucking successfully attack Earth. I mean, hell, even the Borg failed to do that. Like, make the Breen a good villain. They're a good villain. Even the Cardassians say, never turn your back on a Breen.
Yeah, so, like, I would. I just don't know where it's going to go.
Like, there are directions where they could go. Like, in that re-exploring the old, they talked about it. The Trill already rejoined. The Var was talking about.
Navarre is looking to rejoin.
You know, let's get back to these old core worlds and Andoria. Let's see some Earth. Let's see some rehashing between old rivalries. You know, some old tribe
between,
you know,
Andoria and Vulcan.
Yeah, Andoria and Vulcan. Let's see Breen and whoever, Cardassia, Bajorans. Let's rehash some rivalries, and let's see some petty conflicts to resolve. Like, there are ways to go about it. It's just, how many of them can this Star Trek writers not do?
Yeah. I honestly think season 4 might be the last season of Discovery.
It should be.
I think it should be.
I agree.
Because I'm kind of over it.
Here, let me ask you this. Have you seen Enterprise?
Yes.
All of it? Star Trek Enterprise?
Yes.
All 4 seasons? So yes. Based off of the first 3 seasons of Star Trek Enterprise and the first 3 seasons
Enterprise.
Of Star Trek Discovery, by how much?
A lot. I like the first 2 seasons of Enterprise. Before they go off into like unknown regions and start, you know, trying to figure out whenever someone attacks them and they're trying to figure all that out. I really enjoyed the first 2 seasons of Enterprise. And I liked the last 2. I didn't really love them, but I really enjoy the first 2 seasons of Enterprise.
See,
and I know
that's
unpopular opinion because it's the other way around for most people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I feel about Enterprise.
Yeah, that was one of the things. You're right on the spot there, because a lot of Enterprise fans thought season 3 and season 4 was when Star Trek Enterprise was really getting good.
Because
really
it was different.
It's almost a tradition.
And it was individual stories with overarching storyline for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done well. But like I said, I was a really big fan of the first 2 seasons. Like, mm-hmm. The first 2 seasons was like a 7.5-8 in my book, while the last 2 seasons were like a 6.5-7. It's not like there's a big difference, but I really enjoy the first 2 seasons versus the last 2 seasons.
Interesting.
Because at the same point, for me personally, I ran into problems with a little bit of, you know, with Star Trek, I don't like that overarching story. So when I was seeing it in Enterprise, it kind of knocked it a few points for me.
Mm-hmm. But
so
I mean,
that's kind of...
It made sense though, in the way that they did it, and I kind of liked that.
Disagree, but
like, because you see a lot of just real hatred and anger, and like a lot of unity from the crew, where it was like it almost like, I don't want to use it as an example, but that sense of camaraderie when your people has been attacked, almost like what we had after 9/11, when
yeah.
You know, we were able to come
Pearl
together.
Harbor.
Pearl Harbor, you know, these huge days that live in infamy, that
yeah.
You know, really coming together and working together to resolve a common enemy or to defeat a common enemy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they were dealing with the Zindi, who turned out not to be the Zindi and actually was all a ploy with the Temporal Cold War, which again, another storyline they could have explored that they didn't explore. They teased it and then they ignored it. They just like, oh yeah, the Temporal Cold War, it happened. We don't need to go into that. It's like,
yeah. So. I don't care. The Discovery season 4 needs to be the last season. I just, overall, it's been a mediocre show. So let's focus on things like Strange New Worlds.
Agreed.
So,
all right.
But that's all I have.
That's all I got. So
usually we would do it next time in Deep Space High, but next we are going to be on. It's probably going to be a solid 3-month break.
Oh yeah, it will. So
check us out in August. Check us out August 2021. We will have a somewhat new show, probably same name, but a different show.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk more sci-fi. Probably it'll be more sci-fi and more nerdy and bringing up more conversations.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we look forward to seeing you guys at the end of the summer, and we will reconvene in August. Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode of Deep Space High, and we will talk to you guys in August.
Yeah, and you know, feel free to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. If you are catching our shows late and you are like binging through them, keep the conversation going. We'll stay on our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast and our Facebook at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews, and we will, you know, be checking any messages or anyone interacting on those. On those pages, I will, especially me, since I'm the admin on them, I will be keeping up with them. So feel free to reach out there.
And if you're listening to us and you want to go ahead and leave a 5-star rating, we'd really appreciate that. You know, it still helps with the viewership, and it helps get the content out there, and it keeps us motivated to get you guys better content and continue to put out content. And then be sure to leave a rating at Apple Pod, or not just a rating, a review at Apple Podcast. You guys can get some input on what you guys would like to see for the direction of the show. You can get your input to see what we can do next, because we are not entirely sure what we would do next if we were to continue this. So please leave us some feedback and let us know.
Yep.
Now, on that note, I am Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve. And until we see you in August, or 20 minutes from now, depending on when you're listening, I'm Jedi Master Steve. Did I say that? I don't know.